Welcome to the New York Times Popcast, your pizza delivery system of musical news and Grammy persuasions. I'm your host, Ben Ratliff.
Guess it's true, I'm not good at a one-night stand. But I still need love, cause I'm just a man. These nights never seem to go to plan. I don't want you to leave, will you hold my hand? Oh, won't you stay with me?
Popcast listeners, are you ready to be taken to church?
Oh my goodness.
It's time to talk about the Grammys.
I'd rather be taken for pizza.
What happened in the I only saw the first tweet.
Here's the thing
about the pizza delivery.
I think obviously we all know what the big controversy. We all know what the big controversy of yesterday,
I want to talk about it under the pizza.
Right. Well, we can. But I think the big controversy, as we know, is Papa John's really better than Domino's.
Like,
can you trust?
Oh, you were talking about the pizza.
Here's the thing: can you trust Iggy Azalea's taste in pizza?
I don't know.
I didn't know that that's the thing piece that I would be forced
to
write.
What?
And yet, that's the thing piece.
In a couple of weeks, I will trust her taste in pizza because right now, I think she's drowning in pizza.
Yeah. Well, can you think of a more honest expression of rage at losing every Grammy category that you're nominated in than by lashing out at a pizza company?
Right.
I mean, this is a woman who gets pilloried no matter what she does. She has no angles left. So she loses every Grammy and can't go on Twitter and either complain about it or even be magnanimous about it. But she has all this pent-up frustration. She's not being taken seriously. She's not given her due. And who is caught in those crosshairs? It's your man, Papa John.
Mm-hmm. Well,
wasn't he in the Dead for a couple of years, Papa John?
Papa John?
Yeah, like
John's band?
No, I just maybe played bass for like Papa 2 years in the 70s, something like that.
So Iggy Azalea.
Peace to Iggy. Peace to all the writers who really just went in the chamber for a think piece and then didn't have to.
Did you have one ready?
In my mind, yeah. And I thought of sort of like pre-dumping it, but I was like, nah, let me chill. And then I didn't have to write it, which is great. I just live that thing piece. I don't have to actually write it.
You know, we can sort of move past that because that's something that didn't happen. Let's talk about something. Let's talk about something that did happen.
I dispute your definition of happen, but okay.
Let's get straight to Kanye West and Beck.
Oof.
For the listeners who didn't see the 57th Annual Grammy Awards Ceremony, the award in the category Album of the Year.
The big award.
Big by their standards.
Well, sure. I mean, you know, not in my house.
Was given to Beck.
Beck, who, if you do not know, Beck is a singer-songwriter who was popular in the 1990s. Making sort of scratchy, lo-fi, self-loathing anthems.
I was popular in the 90s, too, for some of those reasons.
True story. But, like, you look at you and Beck alike shining in 2015. So that's a win. And now, Beck, if I'm not mistaken, Ben Ratliff, you reviewed Beck's Morning Phase album for the New York Times. Tell us
What does that have to do with this?
No, I want to know what you thought of this album. For those listeners who are unfamiliar with Beck's album or with Beck, or with popular music, tell us a little bit about that album.
It's lovely.
And that's all you got?
It's lovely, it's highly derivative, and it's coherent. But let's just pause there.
Mm.
What happened was that Kanye West ran up on stage as if to protest Beck's winning the award over Beyonce,
specifically,
which was an echo of something that he did earlier.
Yes.
And then he got all the way up, and then he smiled and turned around and kind of looked as if it was like, nah, I'm not going to do this.
Right. But as in, I see the humor of me not doing this.
I see the humor of me not doing it.
Yes.
Right. And Beck's response was, no, come on. I need you. Or what did he say? I need help.
Yes.
Come on, come back. I need help. Subsequently, Kanye West.
Best Beck collaboration of the year by far.
Oh, yeah.
Subsequently,
Kanye West, after the show, was talking to E! Or something like that, and he sort of did a spiel about what he really feels, and he said something to the effect of, we don't want to be played with anymore.
Yes.
They can't step on art like this. Beyonce's record was an amazing creation, and it really took you somewhere. And what Beck should do is give the award to Beyonce. Well, is it true?
No.
I don't think so either.
And that's not because I like Beck's album more than I like Beyonce's album. It's because I like Beck winning that album as a sort of totemic sign about everything that is wrong with the Grammys.
Sure, okay. Well, the way
that's
I
like
feel,
a much more convenient read.
I like Kanye's gesture very much, and I like Beck's gesture actually, Beck's answer very much, and I like almost everything that Kanye West said afterwards. Mm-hmm. I'm just not crazy about the fact that he said that Beck should have given it to Beyonce, because it seems to imply that he's a utopian, or that he believes somehow in the value of the Grammy Award.
Oh, well, that's always been clear. After the Taylor-Kanye thing happened at the VMAs in 2009 yeah. or 8 or whatever it was, I think it was my friend Rich Jeswiak, who's a writer.
Yeah.
I think it was on Twitter, or maybe he's writing somewhere, and he was just like, this is sort of a perfect moment, because who are the two people who care more about awards than Taylor Swift and Kanye West?
Yeah.
So, like, this can only happen between those two people. And I think Kanye has always been, I mean, when I interviewed Kanye last year or the year before, he was just like, the Grammy, they need to get the scoring right.
Right.
Like, they need to get right. the stats right.
Right.
What he doesn't allow for the possibility of is that this is an outmoded, people are still doing batting average and not on base percentage or whatever the saber metrics are in today.
Yeah.
You know, he sort of thinks that that award system is somehow set up for his creativity. And I think it's been demonstrated, even though he's won a bunch of Grammys, it's been demonstrated that broadly speaking, especially in the top categories, it's just not the case.
Yeah.
It seems like a weird, churlish thing to keep complaining about.
It's unfixable.
In the short term,
the
certainly.
Grammys seems to be unfixable.
Certainly in the short term, it's unfixable.
The other thing I thought is that Beck's record, Morning Phase, especially given its quiet drums and its coherence and its albumness.
Mm.
I mean, that thing stinks of albumness. In fact, it's the kind of thing where, like, you put on your big oversized headphones with the like curly wire coming out with an RCA cable on the end.
Yeah, big
you
old
stick
plug.
It into your thing.
Big old plug.
And maybe you have a pipe, something like that, to make you feel comfortable. And you listen to the album from beginning to end. Okay, but also it's got the weak drums.
Talk about a privileged act. I mean, who has that kind of time?
it's literally
an act of privilege. I didn't actually realize the album was an act of privilege until just now.
Yeah.
Wow, that's intense. Oh my God, why has no one written that? All right, I'm gonna write that.
The album of the year category is the non-visual category. Like most people around the world, Grammy voters basically use their ears vestigially. They love flash and bright colors and sexiness and blah, blah, blah. I mean, how else do you explain Iggy Azalea?
I just think there are enough people from Def Jam and Universal on the nominating committee that they get Iggy Azalea on there. It's not rocket science.
Fine. But wait a minute. Let's just talk about this category in particular.
Okay.
Because so many crazy things happen with this category in particular.
And there's these
very quiet, weak drum albums keep winning, and everybody pulls their hair out year after year.
I did a little digging. So if you look at all the 2000s album of the year winner, like from 2000 to the present, or maybe 2001 to the present, I would say a solid half of those albums were made by the oldest person in the category. The winner was the oldest
person.
Ray Charles, Herbie Hancock.
Steely Dan.
There's a second category, which are people who sound like the oldest person in the category.
Yeah.
Adele, Oh Brother, Where Art Thou? Beck was the oldest nominee this year, if I'm not mistaken. This is also, it's not just a weak drum thing. It's not just the albumness. It's also completely skewed towards artists who are going to be known by the most amount of people because they've been around the longest, or because they sound like people who've been around the longest. So Album of the Year, which is voted on by everybody. Some categories are not voted on, you know, or rather, the nominees are pulled by everybody.
Yeah.
It's going to be biased in that direction. And actually, the year that Taylor won Album of the Year, this was 09 maybe, or 2010?
Yeah.
I looked at who her competition was, and it was a very young year, and the only rock album was a Dave Matthews Band album.
Mm.
And I like to think that even Grammy voters were like, nah.
Exercise some taste.
Nah, we can't do
this. Big Whiskey and the Groove Grux King.
Yes. Is that on the iPod right now?
I just know what I'm talking about.
phenomenal. But look, that takes the burden off me, which is great.
And it's interesting what you say about how it's the oldest person in the category usually, because as everybody knows, over time, a preference for weak drums does develop.
Is that true?
In many people's hearing.
Is that true? I don't know. I'm as a 19-year-old, I just don't know if that's true. I'll take your word for it.
John, prove me wrong.
Wait, you're skipping an important part of this.
Which is what?
Is the Beck album better than the Beyoncé album?
No.
Okay, good.
No, that's quite easy.
Yeah, okay, that's the right answer.
I reject what you just said.
That is the right answer?
There is no right answer.
Why did I get into this line of work if there's no right answer? That's preposterous. That's literally the exact reason I do this job.
Well, you should take a good look at yourself.
No.
All right, well, then don't. I'll do it for you.
I appreciate that you've been coasting along on this kind of like everything has equal value, and that's not what we're not here to make judgments, but there are right answers. There are some right answers. Beyonce's album is better than Beck's album. That's a right answer.
Yeah, all right. Well, the question doesn't interest me that much.
Duh.
Now listen, let's hear a song. Just to settle the craziness here. Let's let the people decide. This is a song from Beck's Grammy-winning album, Mourning Phase, called Blackbird Chain.
And like most of America, this will be many people's first time hearing this song.
Look, it's a song that alternates between 4-beat and 3-beat passages. It's sung in a nice, sleepy voice. It is mastered very well.
Yo, cool. Wake me up when it's over, okay?
Give me traces of your lifeblood flowing in a loving cup. Tell me I'm dreaming. I'll never wake up. I keep shaking a dresser drawer from who knows where. A symbol of your exegesis and a full length mirror.
Prove me wrong.
Okay.
The Grammys at this point is grotesque.
Why would I prove you wrong?
It's a carnival of fear.
Can I just say Ben Ratliff is coming with written right now? I am coming off a dome, and Ben Ratliff is coming with written.
It's a carnival of fear.
Yeah. Okay. Cool.
And vested.
Just let
interest.
Me know when you're at the end of the page. Just let me know. I'll be here.
People get so heated up about it every year. At what point are people gonna stop worrying?
No, that outrage machine, especially now that the outrage machine is like so well oiled, and there's always going to be a new generation of young people like seeing something like the Grammys for the first. I mean, just remember the first time you were let down by the Grammys. There are always going to be kids. They will remember the first time they were let down by the Grammys. And that's going to be their narrative of what that award show means. It's an endlessly renewable resource. So I don't think it'll ever stop. I think what does stop is one's desire to lash out against them. I mean, yeah. The last 2 or 3 years, at the end of each Grammys, I've stayed up late and written a notebook about like a particular thing that really rubbed me the wrong way. And this year, I mean, I actually made a list of things that rubbed me the wrong way, but none of which sort of like rose to the level of my, like basically, do I want to go to bed at 4 a.m. tonight?
Mm-hmm.
None of it felt that bad.
No.
I don't know that it ever is going to run out. Because when the people who we think are the interesting tastemakers or whatever, when they become the elder statesmen and stateswomen, when that happens, there'll be a younger generation complaining about it.
Right.
You don't think there are some EDM kids complaining that there wasn't enough Calvin Harris?
There are no EDM kids.
Okay.
Let's talk about some things we liked, though. A few performances, maybe?
I thought 4 or 5 seconds was tremendous.
This was Rihanna featuring Kanye West and Paul McCartney singing country music.
Basically, yeah. And it came at the end of the country montage, which
was
amazing.
Very cool.
They looked great. Paul McCartney looked lost. It was phenomenal. Rihanna looked tremendous. She sang incredibly well.
Yeah, she did.
And this is a person who, like, I've seen in concert, like, just sit out, like, half of her own songs.
Mm-hmm.
Like, just not present at all. I thought she was on fire. And Kanye, just incredibly focused. 2015 Grammys is all Kanye West. Even though he didn't win a single Grammy. The whole thing is all Kanye West.
Mm-hmm.
Every relevant thing that happened, he touched.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that performance, there's something about that song, just the recorded version of that song, where you can kind of be skeptical of it. You're just kind of like, yeah, this feels a little pasted together with mm-hmm. Elmer's glue. But then to see them actually knock it out like that,
It was good.
Moist, hot, loose.
And that came out of the blue, too, you know, like...
In terms of their aesthetics?
Sure.
Yeah, I think that's right.
In terms of a thing in the world.
Well, I mean, I think if you the other Kanye song, which he did early in the night, the Only One record, it's sort of... It's not that far from Only One.
Right.
And it's sort of like, okay, so he's going to do kind of like acoustic 808s and heartbreaks, but about like family and love and celebrity? Okay, cool. I'm with that. And that performance came right out of the Dwight Yoakam, Brandi Clark performance, which is probably my favorite of the non-Kanye performances.
What made it so?
Like Dwight Yoakam, that's a guy right there. Just great presence.
Mm-hmm.
Brandi Clark, really lovely voice. I really like the interplay between the two. It was also sort of benign, broadly speaking.
Mm-hmm.
Within the framework of benignness that the Grammy seems to impose upon its performers, I thought it was like very elegant and well executed.
There was a vibration.
There was.
Between them.
I think that was genuine. Yeah. Unlike, say, Ed Sheeran and John Mayer and Jeff.
Who could have been in different cities.
Yeah. Those are people who I, in various ways, I like on their own.
Did you like the way Dwight Yoakam held a pose for a very long time from the end of the song to the moment when the camera shifted away to the other stage?
He's a showman.
Yeah.
That dude knows how to do it.
Yes.
Who holds a guitar holder than Dwight Yoakam? Real talk.
Mm-hmm.
He also has these incredibly strange bootcut jeans that like are not bootcut jeans that exist in the, like, I don't know where they come from.
Mm-hmm.
They're like bespoke bootcut jeans.
He probably designed some himself.
They're phenomenal.
He's an artist.
They're ugly and they're phenomenal.
How about the Hozier Annie Lennox jammer?
Real talk. Who took big L's last night? Like Hozier took a wild L last night. Let's just be super honest. Hozier took an insane L last night because that's supposed to be his moment. It's like he's the guy. He has the song. It's the big church thing. And I actually thought, like, when I knew he was performing, I was like, oh, they're going to put him some gospel singer. It's going to be like 100 people on stage. It's going to be like, na 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 na. And just like people are like, the curtains are going to part.
Yeah.
And there's going to be like a 100-person choir. And instead, he came out literally looking like Howard Stern as Fart Man. In like a weird black trench coat that was like not a cool trench coat in an era of cool trench coats. Like there's like, that's like, trench coats are a thing now. And he somehow found the one that was not cool. So he comes out looking like that. And then he sings, you know, whatever, a minute of his song, a minute and a half of his song. And Annie Lennox comes out and absolutely gobbles him for breakfast.
It's kind of good.
She was phenomenal. I don't know if you saw her on the red carpet. Did you watch any of the red carpet? Mm-hmm. So she was being interviewed by Juliana Rancic from E,
mm-hmm.
reigning queen of the empty red carpet interview. And
I know her well.
Annie Lennox is just like, she's like stone. You know what I mean? Like she's earth. She's all the elements.
Mm.
And she's standing in front of Juliana Rancic and just sort of regarding her. And Juliana Rancic is like, so you have a song on the 50 Shades of Grey soundtrack. And like, are you a fan of the book? Like, did you have, you know, a song that sort of like fits the vibe of the book? And Annie Lennox is just like, I've not read that book. And you're just like, Annie Lennox just like shot flames and like set Juliana Rancic on fire.
Justify yourself, young
shot
woman.
Shot flames out of her eyes. And then brought it to the Grammys as if it was a real, genuine show about musical competence, which I hate to say, but like that's a real thing. The Grammys seems to do a really good job this year, especially of sandpapering down everybody's rough edges and making the performances were really almost 2-1. Except maybe AC/DC.
I was just about to say, actually.
Except maybe that, but like very on like an emotional even keel, like all very like, all in like a very ugly middle. And Annie Lennox was like, no one told me I had to do that.
Yeah.
So I'm just going to come and eat this kid for breakfast.
Also, as you pointed out in one of your ribald exchanges with Dave Itzkoff live tweeting, the performance with Ed Sheeran and John Mayer, et cetera, Questlove.
Mm-hmm.
They were all like totally low boil.
I mean,
they're musicians not doing what they can do.
I thought it was preposterous. I mean, look, you can say whatever you want about Ed Sheeran. The kid has like a pretty competent voice, and he's a very interesting musician. I mean, he plays Madison Square Garden with a guitar and a loop pedal.
Mm.
Like, you can do something with that. John Mayer, apart from like those 5 seconds at the end of the real like, you know, like guitar face stuff, John Mayer's one of the great guitar players of the last 15 years, like in that context.
Yeah.
Questlove, maybe you like Questlove, maybe you don't, but he's certainly a repository of knowledge. And they literally had them out there playing like the airport bar. It made no sense.
Well, this seems to get back to the unfixability of the event.
I have a counter theory. I made my list of potential pieces.
You did that?
I did. You do what you do. I do what I do.
I was at a Gamelon show last night. just to put that on the record. I watched this on DVR much later.
So I made a list of potential pieces, right? And actually my first one was like sort of as a tongue-in-cheek piece, that CBS conspiracy theory that everyone who was on the Grammys who was good was old. Dwight Yoakam, Annie Lennox, Jeff Lynne.
Sure.
Everyone who kind of like slightly broke out of the mold.
AC/DC.
AC/DC was an old performer. Considering that CBS has the oldest demographics of any mainstream network.
What are you saying?
What better show to have? I mean, first of all, can you imagine if the Grammys were on Fox? OT Genesis would be on the Grammys rapping Coco. You know mm-hmm. what I'm saying? Like, mm-hmm. it matters that it's on CBS. Mm-hmm. It has to fit within a broader idea about CBS and what CBS presents as a network. And so I'm not surprised.
So you think they set up the younger artists to fail and they set up the older artists to succeed?
Look, I don't know that they had a meeting, much like you and I are having right now. I don't know they had a meeting, but I think when you put enough like-minded people in a room creating things, I think that's what happens.
I just thought about
this. That's how privilege reinforces itself.
I just thought about that for 1.5 seconds, and I think it's correct.
Great.
AC/DC. That was the first thing you saw when you switched on the Grammys.
Doesn't that prove my point?
And what was the song they were playing?
I don't know.
In Rock We Trust.
And then Highway to Hell.
It's Rock or But. Yeah, that song too.
Right.
But In Rock We Trust. I mean, that sends a message.
There you go. So I'm right.
We are men in our 60s, and rock is the coin of the realm.
Just ripping bong hits with Jeff Lynne backstage. Just like, we killed it.
And it was sort of announcing, like, look, everything is judged according to this standard.
I hate to bring this up, but like, let us not forget that AC/DC album that came out last year was actually a commercially successful album. I'm pretty sure it debuted at number one, sold a bunch of copies. It's not as if there is no market for that thing. All the cemeteries across the country all have their own copies.
Erica Campbell won the Gospel Award.
Good for her.
I can get behind that. Tenacious D won the Metal Performance Award.
I mean, it's great. It's like Jethro Tull winning.
I don't even know what to say about that. It just seems like
they had the most name recognition.
No, but even the voters must know that that is either a total condemnation of an entire musical tradition or some sort of weird misreading.
Didn't the Lonely Island win one year?
For what? For like, hip-hop?
Like rest rap song or something?
Is that true?
Or they were nominated at least?
I don't think that's true.
Do I have to Google that real fast? As you're lamenting that Alcest didn't win Best Metal Album, I'm going to Google.
What about Tom Jones?
I think, again, moms all over the country were super into the Grammys for about three
minutes. Are there any moms left who even know who Tom Jones is?
Oh, trust me. Okay. It's a lot of sweaty moms.
Grandmoms, great-grandmoms.
Oh, yeah, all of it. Okay. Great aunts. A lot of great aunts. Okay, no, Grammy, just for the record, Lonely Island was nominated for Best Rap Sung Collaboration.
Well, look, all kinds of garbage is nominated, but winning
that's
is something
still, that's
else.
Like, that suggests that was one of the five best rap sung collaborations of that year, which is probably not true.
I would say that Chris Martin did Beck no favors by being his backup singer.
White Illuminati is real. Real talk. Come on. Beck and Chris Martin together. Do you mix flavors? Like when you're having ice cream, you mix flavors?
I don't mix a big, muscly, high-octane guy with a thin, low-octane wimp.
Yeah, but you know what you also don't mix? Vanilla with vanilla.
Yeah. Yeah, you may be right.
Yeah.
What about Jeff Lynne and your boy?
Kudos to Jeff Lynne, man. Also, shouts out to Haim. You see Haim really singing all the words? Sitting behind Taylor Swift?
Oh, in the crowd.
Yeah, in the crowd.
All the words to what?
To Jeff Lynne.
To the yellow stuff,
yeah. Of course, and of course, you know, like, obviously.
I was trying to read your boy for his...
I can't believe this is just this is just accepted that's my boy. But okay.
I was trying to read your boy for his, you know, the reaction shots, or just like the way he, or even when he sang that ELO song. What was going through his mind? It seemed to me like maybe the ELO song he had learned, you know, earlier that day.
Yeah, maybe.
And was just banging it out, which sounded really good.
He's an adept guy.
It was interesting when AC/DC was on stage and they panned across the audience and you saw Dave Grohl looking like he was reborn.
I mean,
and then your boy, who was like slightly puzzled.
Yeah. That's not his lane. It's a little rough for him.
Yeah.
I mean, honestly, the best Ed Sheeran songs are like easily the weakest. I mean, the wimpiest. Like by far the best Ed Sheeran songs are the one. Like anytime there's like any kind of super like pulse behind it, it's like, nah, pass. But like when he goes tender, when he goes elegiac, maybe, kills it.
Mm.
Does he know ELO? I can't swear that he knows ELO. What he does like is approval. I think when he realized that he can perform on stage at the Grammys one of his songs with like with the all-star backup team and then another song with like another legend and that made him feel like he was part of the squad. And so, and he got five minutes of camera time. I forget if I said this on Twitter or in the live blog, but it was really shocking to me because Ed Sheeran's like extremely popular. Whatever you might think of Ed Sheeran, he's wild popular.
Oh, yeah.
With young people, especially. They have so little faith in his popularity that they surrounded him with all those people. They're just like, oh, no one's going to know about Ed Sheeran. Let's give him John Mayer. Give him Herbie Hancock.
Right. Total misreading of your boy.
Also, like, did you feel bad for Herbie Hancock in that moment? Considering that was the jazz portion of the night?
Right. I don't know.
Come on.
He's been in that situation so many times.
I guess. And I didn't feel worse for him than I did for Long Long.
Oh, I've just felt scorned for Long Long.
Oh, well, obviously.
He was in the Hans Zimmer production,
yeah,
right?
With Pharrell.
Oh, my God.
No, that was actually...
We didn't talk about that.
No, and I actually... There were a lot of laugh moments, but that when they, like, tossed to Long Long in the center of the arena, and he's like... And, I mean, I actually fell off the couch.
But that performance as a whole... That completely overstuffed, insane performance. That was like being in a rented party room with bad lighting and mirrors on the walls that smells like disinfectant.
This is a real Pharrell problem. And it's like, I like Pharrell a lot. And Pharrell's been important for a really long time. But Pharrell really, in the same way that Kanye believes in the value of the Grammy Award, Pharrell believes in the value of the Grammy moment. So like that song, which I know you love, that is a thin-as-hell song. Thin song. His only real solution is to make it epic, to make it huge. And you can't do that musically with that record.
Yeah.
So you create this stage production, and you turn it into like a Cirque du Soleil number or something.
Mm.
That's really what happened. That said, there was a moment during the Pharrell thing that I thought was important, where all the backup dancers, hands up, quick protest moment. And I think it fit in. This is something I was emailing with Paralys last night. This is something that fit in. You know, there's two, three, maybe four moments during the show of actual protest. So John Legend and Selma, Beyonce, did you have February 8th, 2015 in your office pool for the day that John Legend would sing better than Beyonce?
No.
Because there is only one day.
Yeah.
So anyone who had February 2015, congratulations.
Sure.
You win big.
Sure, yeah.
You know, John Legend, I don't usually have a lot of time for, but I was very moved by his singing. I think he was very moved by the song and the opportunity. And I thought Beyonce looked like she was struggling a little bit, if I'm being honest.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not something you say a lot. One can say a lot about Beyonce.
Mm-hmm.
But I felt like she was reaching.
You know who's going to win Album of the Year next year?
Beck Songreader?
No.
Oh, okay.
D'Angelo.
I can mostly get behind that.
And then we can have this conversation all over again. What does it mean that D'Angelo won that award?
Is it rude to say that, like, there are parts of that D'Angelo record that are a little boring?
No.
Well, let's go out on something we can agree on. I think you know what that is.
That would be?
About 4 or 5 seconds from ending this podcast.
Rihanna featuring Kanye West and Paul McCartney.
Or mostly Kanye West.
Thank you, John.
Woke up an optimist. Sun was shining, I'm positive.
We can run.
Then I heard you was talking trash.
I'm fighting mystery.
Hold me back, I'm about to spaz.
Yeah, about 4 or 5 seconds from wildin'. And we got 3 more days till Friday.
That's our podcast.
Yo, shouts to Neil Portnow. Talk about a guy who really has the spirit of music alive in his soul. Shouts to Neil Portnow and Ken Ehrlich. just delivering bangers year after year.
You can read our coverage of the event as tweeted by John Caramonica and as written by John Perales and Ben Cesario at nytimes.com/music. Please enjoy our Spotify playlist, which I think will not include the works of Pierre Boulez. Boulez. They said Boulez.
But we have a lot of Flaco Jimenez, though.
Flaco Jimenez.
Him, too.
Our producers are Jeremy Egner and Jocelyn Gonzalez. We'll see you next week. Goodbye.
I hope you can understand.
If I go to jail tonight, promise you'll pay my bail.